Now, my first scripture tonight is in Exodus. If you would turn with me, please, to Exodus in chapter 14. And I'd like to read from verse 10 of Exodus 14. And Pharaoh approached. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And the children of Israel were much afraid and cried out to Jehovah. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why hast thou done this to us, that thou hast led us out of Egypt? Is not this what we told thee in Egypt when we said, 'Let us alone, and we will serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today." Now my next scripture is in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Just read from verse 27. "And he," that is Philip, "rose up and went, and lo, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a man in power under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to worship at Jerusalem, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Approach and join this chariot.' And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Dost thou now then know what thou art reading of?' And he said, 'How should I then be able, unless someone guide me?' And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment has been taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' And the eunuch answering Philip said, 'I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other?' And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as they went along the way, they came upon a certain water. And the eunuch says, 'Behold, water, what hinders my being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they went down both to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Finally, a well-known section in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 of Luke, and verse 35. "And it came to pass, when he came into the neighborhood of Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the crowd passing, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was passing by. And he called out, saying, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who were going before rebuked him, that he might be silent. But he cried out so much the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be led to him. And when he drew nigh, he asked him, saying, 'What wilt thou that I shall do to thee?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may see.' And Jesus said to him, 'See, thy faith has healed thee.' And immediately he saw, and following him, glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." Speaking earlier in the week to a gospel preacher, he was telling me about a little encounter that he had. Apparently there was this man sitting on a bench, and he went up to him and opened conversation. And he was a little bit worried, first of all, before he went to speak to him, because he was the sort of person that you might not have thought it was too good to just sit down beside him. He was dressed in quite untidy clothes, but it became apparent after the first few words had been spoken that this man was a very real believer in the Lord Jesus. And one of the things that, in course of conversation, he said to this gospel preacher was, "Do you think that the gospel should include a reference to hell as well as to heaven?" And the answer that he received was this: Yes. Hell is mentioned in the gospel as a warning. But the gospel is the way to heaven. And I thought that was beautiful, you know. That there is a warning in the gospel for every one of us. But the gospel of God's grace is open tonight to whosoever will. And the power and attraction of my blessed Saviour is open to you and open to everyone tonight. And that's what I want to present to you in the gospel, is the wonder and greatness of my glorious Saviour. But I mentioned this because for many of us, life just goes on day by day. There are little changes, of course, and little adjustments that happen from day to day. But generally, we can anticipate sort of what tomorrow's going to be. And as we look ahead, particularly when we're young, life ahead is full of excitement and ambition and the things that we hope that we'll be able to do. And I have read from these scriptures tonight so that we might take the warning that as days go on and perhaps we just drift along in life, that we might realise that a day is coming very soon when we will have to do with God. And when we meet him, will we still be in our sins, or will we have known the precious blood of Jesus that washes all our sins away? Will we have been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? Will God have to say to us, you heard the gospel preaching, and what did you do with it? You heard the name of Jesus proclaimed, and because it was familiar to you, you didn't actually realize that that name was proclaimed for you, for your acceptance by faith, and by coming in repentance to the Saviour, and owning that you yourself were a sinner and had need to do with him. And each of these scriptures that I've read, if you'll notice, speaks of standing still. We rush on in life from day to day, but there is a time when we need to stand still and take account and take stock. Where are we going? Where is our pathway leading? The scripture says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And so it is, that the wages of sin is death. And death passes upon all men. Friend, tonight, where is your pathway leading you? Have you stopped to think? Have you stopped to consider what God is saying to you in the gospel that he wants to have to do with you? If you'll only just stop in your tracks and take account of what Jesus has done for you. Children of Israel in Exodus 14 were in quite a predicament. There they were. They'd experienced the power of God that had delivered them from Egypt, the power of the firstborn, and they had witnessed the power of God as a judge, as the one who was able to come in and slay the firstborn of the Egyptians and the household of everyone for whom the blood was not sprinkled upon the lintel. Oh, friend, I want to tell you tonight about the precious blood of Jesus. As Moses said here, stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah. The blood was there upon the lintel and upon the doorposts. And the slaying angel that went by would not enter the house. The judgment of God did not come in. Oh, the wonder and the power, you know, of the blood. The blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. Shed for sinners and shed for rebels and shed for me. And that's the power of the blood, you know, that preserved the Israelites from the firstborn being slain and the power of the blood there at Calvary that was shed for sinners like you and me. Oh, friend, have you availed yourself of the precious blood of Jesus? Have you known what it is that that precious blood has washed your sins away? Because you've accepted Jesus as your own personal Saviour, and you know what it is to be cleansed and set free for the praise and pleasure of God. Well, the Egyptians didn't know for the moment, the Israelites didn't know for the moment at this point whether they would be set free. What a dilemma it was, you know. They had the sea in front of them, so they couldn't cross it because it was too deep. They had the mountains on either side of them, so they couldn't climb up and get away. And they had the Egyptians behind them, marching on and closing in on them. You think of that, you know, that persons don't realize today that God's mercy and grace is there waiting for them, but the day of mercy soon will close. Whosoever will can come today, but I can't promise you tomorrow. It's a solemn thing, you know. But there it is. Persons are trapped, as it were. But oh, the grace of God. Look and see what God will do in his salvation for you today. What has he done? He's provided a Saviour. He's given his only beloved Son, that the penalty of death might be taken away forever, the penalty of sin, and that you might know not what it is to come into judgment, but rather that you might know what it is to be truly saved and have a hope and a joy that people of this world can never know. Friend, have you stood still and taken account of what God has done? Oh, but you say, I know the gospel message, and I know you do. But when you take account of Calvary, the precious work of Jesus that was accomplished there, you see the triumph of divine love. You see the power of the enemy coming in, and Christ himself entering into death and breaking its power and coming forth triumphant. And tonight, the message that comes to you is not coming to you from behind the desk of a preacher. It's coming to you from the glory where a man is ascended at God's right hand in heaven. And that's from where the gospel message proceeds tonight. It's a man who's triumphed over death and who lives forever. And the appeal of his heart is to you. The appeal is that you might come and have to do with that glorious Saviour tonight. And that you might know the power and greatness of the love of Jesus that is able to meet your every need. Moses says here, stand still and see. Or have you taken account of the work that took place at the cross? Have you realized the Saviour who suffered there, that he suffered for you? Do you realize that the work that he accomplished 2,000 years ago is still available to you, the sinner? If you knew that the Lord was coming tonight, would you not make sure? Friend, I know I would. But I thank God that many years ago, I trusted in my Saviour. It wasn't that at that time I had any great sense of my sins, but what I knew was that I needed my Saviour. What I've realized since then is the awfulness of my sins that he bore when he suffered on the tree. And as the days go by, the more I realize how much he suffered for me, the more I realize the depths to which my sins took him. And I have a little bit of an understanding of that scripture that speaks prophetically of him, that the weeds were wrapped about his head when he went into the depths and the pressures that he felt and the burdens that he bore. I have some little understanding that perhaps I never had at the time when I first trusted in him as my Saviour. But the more I go on in life, the more I realise the debt that I owe to him. I commend God's love to you in the gospel. I commend it to you because I know you need him. I know that all are sinners and in need of a Saviour. But I commend him to you because to those that were young, I would say, as you get older, you'll more and more realise your need of him. And you'll look back to the day when you realised that you trusted in the precious Saviour for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll rejoice in the day that you did. It's a time when we can be thankful to the Lord for everything that he has done for us in setting us free and giving us a hope and a joy that can never be taken from us. Well, we know the story of Moses at the Red Sea. How he put out his hand, you know, stretched out his hand, and the waters went back, and the children of Israel went over on dry ground. And you know, that's a type for us. That there it is, that the waters are there. We cannot pass over unless God comes in and he acts on his own behalf. That he works on our behalf. And that's the precious work of Jesus. That he has wrought in such a way that a way has been made through whereby you can be delivered from your sins and from sin. And where you can find what it is to truly have peace with God. And the way is open tonight for whosoever will, if you'll just reach out and make it your own. And I would just say to you simply, if you think you know what tomorrow will bring, don't be too sure. But be sure of this, that you have a personal link with the Saviour that, come what may, will give you an assurance and a peace and a hope that can never be changed. Because the precious work of Jesus, when you've trusted in him, will be yours and yours forever. And as you get older, and let me just say this, you'll find that there are times when you sin and you stray. And every time you do, you can be thankful for the precious blood that was shed at Calvary for you, that washes every sin away. And you can be thankful for the precious love of Jesus that finds you just where you are and restores you to himself in the enjoyment of his love and grace. And you'll say to yourself, what a wonderful Saviour I've got. Have you trusted him? I would commend him to you tonight, that if you haven't known him as your own personal Saviour, you'll turn to him now and know it now. Well, now I turn to the second scripture, which is in Acts chapter 8. And I'm often impressed by this, you know, because here you have a man who is well up in the hierarchy of this world. He was responsible for all the treasures that were under the hand of the Queen of Ethiopia. He was in a position of responsibility. You might say, well, he had everything that he needed. If you put it into modern day language, he'd have been a man on a very good salary. He'd have been well looked up to in every circle. The fact that he had a chariot and was riding in one would be an evidence of it in those days. But there he was. He was a man. And as we would put it today, he was reading his Bible. Well, that's a very good thing to do, and I can commend that to everyone here. You may not understand everything that you read, and I confess, neither do I. But I would say this, that it's a good thing to read your Bible, because while you're young, you can take it in. How many times that was said to me, you know, when I was young, and I just laughed it off. And I thought, well, there'll be plenty of time when I'm older to read my Bible and to get to know it. And now I find when I read it, I can't remember what I read. But you know, when you're young, you can remember things. And I would commend the reading of the Bible to you. Whatever you read, just read it anyway. Because, you know, you may not understand things you read, but the Spirit can bring things to your remembrance which are just needed for the need of the moment. Perhaps you meet a person in the street and the conversation, like I started the gospel tonight, the conversation suddenly gets into things about the Lord. And you think, oh, what shall I say to this person? How can I word what's needed for him? And you suddenly realize that you need the help and power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit that brings things to our remembrance. And if you've never read things, you can't remember them. And so it's a good thing to read the Bible like this man was doing. For all his position and for all his undoubted intelligence, he couldn't understand what he was reading either. And he was reading from Isaiah 53, one of the most well-known sections of Scripture. That's one that if you've never read it on your own before, I would recommend that you read Isaiah 53. And you will find somebody there who died for your transgressions. He was wounded for you. He was smitten for you, and he did it all because of his great love for you, and he's my glorious Saviour that I present to you in the gospel. And this man was reading about him, and he read from this scripture. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. And you'll find that in Isaiah 53. Was it a coincidence that this man happened to be reading that wonderful gospel story prophesied by Isaiah? No, it was no coincidence. It was God working with him, bringing him to the realization that, great man as he was, that he needed a saviour. Oh, friend, if the treasurer of Ethiopia needed a saviour travelling in his chariot, surely you need a saviour. And if he needed a saviour, there and then he found him. And right now you can find him. Because now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. And Philip is caused to meet this. He's directed by the Lord to meet this chariot. And he gets into conversation with this man, with this treasurer. And he jumps up beside him in the chariot. And he asks the man about what he's reading. Do you understand what you're reading? Well, at least he's honest. He says, how can I? I haven't got anybody to show me. I haven't got anybody to help me to understand it. Let us be honest before God. Let us own our sins before him honestly. Let us confess our sins to him openly. Let us repent before God. Philip draws nigh to him. And as he speaks, what does he do? He preaches the gospel to him, beginning from that scripture. Friend, that is the place where you've got to start. You've got to come to the cross. People research religion. They go to theological college. They try and memorize the Bible. But the place where you start in the gospel is at the cross, where Jesus died to wash your sins away. The one who was despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their faces. That's where you start. That's where this great man had to start. He couldn't build on any of his office in this world. He couldn't build on his reputation. He couldn't build on his status. But what he built on was the Word of God. And that's the foundation for my gospel preaching tonight. It's God's Word unto salvation. And it's preached for your acceptance, that you might know what it is to have a personal Saviour. And this man here, when he hears the glad tidings of Jesus, after a while, as Philip had preached the gospel to him, he spies certain water, and he says, "What hinders my being baptized?" Oh, what's this? That was quick, wasn't it? That didn't take him long, that he realized that not only did he need to hear the gospel, he didn't just need it to be interpreted to him, but he needed to do something about it. That is, that however familiar the gospel message is to us, have we laid hold of us from ourselves? Have we made it our own? And these words that come home to me many a time with very real impact when I read Acts 8, that it says, he commanded the chariot to stop. I often think about it, you know, because how great this man was. There he was travelling along, sitting in his chariot. There he was, the horses no doubt, pulling it along. Everybody would be acknowledging him and respecting him. And suddenly he realises his need of a saviour. And he causes the chariot to stop. It's the end of everything according to this world. It's the end of man's greatness. It's the end of my position. It's the end of all that man stands for. Man is set aside completely at the cross of Christ. The chariot stops. And he says, and they both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Friend, you know, as you trust in this precious Saviour, you'll want to be committed to him. Mm-hmm. Not only is trusting him for your eternal salvation, but you'll want to trust him for today and tomorrow and for as long as the Lord leaves you here. You want to lead a life that is committed to that precious Saviour. And why? Because you'll realise that when he suffered there upon the tree, he did it for you because he loved you. And what a debt we owe to him who shed his blood. You can never repay that debt, but then he never asks you to anyway. But what he asks you is to be committed to him. Oh, he's a wonderful Saviour, you know, and he'll never let you down. He's a Saviour who'll be with you right through to the end. He's a Saviour into whose hands God has committed everything. And if God has done that, won't you trust him too? Won't you commit your life to him? That's what this eunuch did. And when that happened, he lost sight altogether of Philip. It wasn't the preacher that came before his eyes. It was the glory of his Saviour. And he went on his way rejoicing. And that's what I would love, that everyone, young and old tonight, might be able to do after this Lord's Day. That we can go on our way rejoicing. Because we've got a link with a man who's died on the cross to set us free, and we've trusted him, and we know what it is to have a link with a man in the glory. Finally, my scripture in Luke 18. Mm. And you'll know why I've read this scripture. It's one of the most attractive sections of scripture that I find in the Bible. But here was a man, perhaps like a man that I told you about at the beginning. And Jesus was passing by. Now, just think of the difference for a moment. Let's just think of this story. Here we have a man who was just a beggar. You can well imagine him, can't you, at the side of the road, just sitting in the dust, clothed probably with precious little, but what he had would not be the sort of things we would want to wear. But there he was anyway. And then on the other side, you have a man who was passing through. He was passing by. Now, in the eyes of men, this was just an ordinary man passing by. But you and I know from the Bible that this was no mere man. This was Jesus. And more than that, this was the Son of God. The one who was so great and so glorious. And the beggar. In Acts 8, we have the greatness of man. The treasurer of the queen. But here we have the beggar beside the road, and he's crying out for help. And Jesus is passing by. And I often think of this in connection with the gospel, you know. You hear it week after week and say, well, why do we preach the gospel week after week? Friend, if we thought of it that Jesus passed by week after week, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have a sense of the greatness and glory of the Saviour each Lord's Day? That's why the gospel's preached, you know. It's not that we preach saved today and lost tomorrow and that you need to be saved every Lord's Day. Of course not. But we preach the gospel because we declare to you the wonder and glory of the Saviour. And that Saviour who is available to you tonight is just passing by, and he's waiting and waiting for you and me so that we might have a fresh touch from the Saviour. Well, you say, this is too simple for me because I trusted in the Lord long ago. But I say to you, no, it's not. I say to you that however long you've been in the Christian pathway, if you have, that you still need the fresh touch of the Saviour to keep your heart vibrant for him. That you might know that the Saviour himself has taken account of you tonight. That he's pausing for you personally because he wants you to know him better than you've ever known him before. And he's saying, come unto me, all ye who labour and are burdened. You think of that, you know, every one of us has burdens of some kind. But you think that you can bring them to the Lord. And he would have you just to bring it to him tonight. Sometimes I feel ashamed when I turn to the Lord in prayer and I think how small a detail I'm bringing to him. The way one who is the Son of God, can he possibly be interested in this? Can he be taking account of my prayer? But yes, he is interested in your prayer and he's interested in you. And it says that Jesus stood still. I'd like to just leave this verse with you. I don't need to speak any more about it. But just so that you might realize that the Saviour who tonight is living in the glory is, as it were, standing still for you. His love is a love that is a personal love. His work avails for whosoever will and whatsoever your need is tonight. Whether still in your sins, whether you've wandered, whether your heart just needs a fresh touch from him, he'll give it tonight because in his love and grace he stands still, as it were, for you, so that you might know his personal interest in you and that you might know the reality of his love for your soul. Well, may these things be a blessing to us. May we be like those that go on their way rejoicing, like that man in Acts 8, for his name's sake. Amen.